All right, and we're live.
Good morning. We are recording the class today. So with that being said, if you have comments, try to speak up so that it catches on the recording. I know last week when I was home with COVID, I was really glad to have that recording to listen to, and it sounded really good. So keep it up. Good morning. We, 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you know how in your yearbooks people may have written, never change, stay the same. Well, don't do that. We're not called to do that. So we're called to change. We're called to grow. And that's what this whole series about is for this summer is maturing. And today we're talking specifically about maturing in contentment. So does everybody have a handout? If you don't, just raise your hand, please. All right, we're going to do a little check-in. So if you would close your eyes, keep them closed. And I want you to think, are you content right now? Are you content where you are in life? Are you content with your physical appearance, your status, your relationships? Are you content with your sense of community, the season that you are in, your achievements? Are you content with what others might say about you? Do you really know how to be content when you can't find the right dating or marriage partner? Maybe you can't get pregnant. You live with chronic pain, depression, anxiety. Were you content when you were forced to wear a mask or worship outdoors? Maybe you're dealing with a huge trial. You have gained weight. You have graying hair or wrinkles. You're lonely. You're left out of activities. You're suffering financial hardship. Maybe you're dealing with illness. Maybe you don't agree with the elders. Are you really content? Or are you waiting on the next big milestone of your life? Do you play the if-only game? If only I fill in the blank, then I would really be content. Okay, you can open your eyes. On your handout, there's a little rating. How would you rate your contentment? And I'm just going to give you a minute to circle a number. This is not to share out loud, just for your own self-reflection. And what areas do you feel most discontented? We have cultural images all around us. Billboards, ads, social media, telling us we're not good enough. We don't have enough. We need to buy more. We need to change this, change that about our appearance. Take this supplement. Use this product. Earn this much money. Buy the bigger house. Have the latest technology. New cars, new phones. You're not fit enough. You need Botox. You're not young enough. You haven't achieved enough. You're not where you should be for this age or that age. Our culture pushes more, more, more. You're not enough. And guess what? The world is right. If we measure ourselves by the world's standards and look for contentment in those areas, it will never be enough. We will never have enough. We will never be enough because the world will never satisfy. Our culture pushes more, 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 and God says, be content with where you are. So God's people, our view of contentment, as God's people, should be counterculture to what the world sees as content. We have a different calling. So let's think from a biblical lens. What does contentment look like to you? What does it mean to you from a biblical lens? Or what is it
where you are and what you have.
Feeling of being okay.
The word they used a lot in the text was peace.
Peace, yeah. An inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
Stillness.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry. We will come in from stillness.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that scripture. About the tree planted by the water.
Someone else was over here. Yeah, Denny.
Satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Which would be being okay to me.
Yeah. Joanne?
Whatever is lovely, think of these things.
Happiness. Kind of what the world views as happiness, right? When the world says, you know, are you really happy? I think, like, in our mind, the contentment is what that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any other ideas, Joey?
I think we need to be content in illness.
Mm-hmm.
I have a neighbor who deals with chronic pain, and
you know, I rarely hear her complain, but I think, wow, how hard that must be. You know, we all have our thing that we're struggling with, but how hard that must be to live like that day in and day out, and then keep up with activities. But I don't hear her complain, and that means so much to me. It's like, wow, how cool is that?
I'm not sure if this fits, but often when I'm going to sleep at night, I count my blessings until I fall asleep.
Yep, that was one that I had. I think we're going to get into gratitude, but I think what you said is good. Anything else? What does contentment look like for you?
Age.
It's something that is learned.
I thought you said beige. Yeah, beige. Age beige, if I'm saying.
Another idea that I have is disciplining our thoughts. So I think it's not that we never want something else, right? It's not that we're ever not trying to change something that's going on in our life. But how is your thought process? How do you talk to God about that? How do you take that to God in prayer? And are you content even though things aren't what you're hoping that they might be one day?
I think just to add on with it being okay with where you are, that it's being okay with not being okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, looking at that list, if there's anybody in here that didn't have a check off on a single one of those things, like, we all need to know your secrets, because I think contentment is, I may not be okay in this area or all of these areas, but that doesn't mean I can't be content.
Good point.
I think as you get older, you become more content with who you are, and the other doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Except I really love my cat a lot.
I'm finding that out as I age, too. I think one thing that I love that song, and you see it now on, like, all the graphic art, but I think contentment says it as well. You know, the lyrics of that song are really beautiful, and I'm sure many of you have heard kind of the background behind how that song was written, but just that peace, that stillness that comes from knowing God's working. God's working behind the scenes. Okay, what is contentment not?
If only.
Mm-hmm. And the problem with the if only game is that it's rooted in assumptions. We all know what people say about assumptions, but we assume we know what's best for us, right? We assume, well, if only I have this, then I'll be content, then I'll be happy with my life. And so really that's kind of a rebellion against God, because we know he's working. If we have that trust in him. Anything else?
Trying to meet the world's standards.
Mm-hmm. And it's just forced down our throats.
I think going with that is just comparison. Contentment is not comparison.
Right.
Most comparison comes from where the world says we should be at X, Y, and Z in our lives.
Expectations. Donna?
Maybe arrogance.
Yeah.
I could handle being rich. I really could.
What contentment is not?
Anxiety.
Yeah. Worry doesn't really get us anywhere, right? I struggle with that, but I've never solved any of my problems yet by worrying. Mm-hmm.
Unwilling to forgive.
Thinking that we can take it all on and take care of our lives, right? Someone have a hand?
It's not looking for areas where you've been shortchanged, like kind of bitterness.
Okay. I also think it's not like a chill, right? It's not like, oh, I'm so like cool and laid back that like I'm just okay with where I am. It's not an excuse not to grow either.
Apathy?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're looking for?
All right, so we could keep going, but the long and short of it is that contentment is a constant effort. It's a constant evolution. We're never like fully there. But it is attainable, and it is available as a byproduct of seeking God. And contentment for you might be a day-to-day thing. It might be a season of life. It might be an acceptance of dealing.
Sorry.
Bob, that's just recording.
There's no live video right now of
no.
this?
No, thank God.
Just a recording.
Okay.
I'll let the people know.
All the people are messaging.
I'm
okay.
Thank you.
So maybe it's a season of life that you're in. Maybe you're waiting for that next season. Or maybe it's an acceptance of dealing with a certain thorn in the flesh that you're going to deal with your whole life. I've been trying to swallow something in that regards for myself. So if you're there, I'm with you. But maybe it's all three. You know, maybe you're waiting on the next season, but maybe you're dealing with day-to-day stuff. And so it's a lot, right? But let's look at what contentment is in the Greek. And we're going to look at what Paul says about contentment. So in the Greek, it refers to a self-sufficiency. So not necessarily like a reliance on yourself, how we put up there, but more a detached from outward circumstances and able to meet every situation, like a resourceful person. So let's read together in Philippians 4. Paul wrote this letter in prison, and he's thanking the Philippians for their generosity. And if Paul can be content with everything he went through, I mean, maybe there's something he can teach us. Philippians 4, and we're going to read verse 10 through 13. Okay, so here he's thanking them for the money and that they've given, the generosity. Okay. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. All right, so if we think about this scripture, how do we gain contentment based on what Paul's telling us here? I have four ideas. What do you take from this?
That God gives us the strength to get us through whatever situation we're in. I've never been there at all.
Okay.
There you go.
That's good. Okay. Sorry, Paula, could you repeat that? God gives us
the strength to get through whatever situation.
Okay, so it's dependence on God. It's available, but we have to be relying on him. So that means we're not relying on ourselves. We're not relying on others. Being content is not about your husband, and it's not about your kids. It's not about your boss. In any situation, it's trust that God is sovereign, meaning he's overall and he's in control. And he's good. The providence of God, there's purpose in everything. So if we trust in him, if we know that he is good, if we know that he's behind every experience, then we know that there's purpose in everything, that he will achieve his purposes without violating our own individual freedoms. And if this part is hard on you, dependence on God, then I'd ask you, do you really know God's character? Do you really trust that he is good, that he is working for you in all good, or for good in all things? Have you gotten to know him the way that he wants you to know him? And if you haven't, it's not too late. Get in his word. Read about all the things he's done for his people from the beginning of time. I think teaching the kids class has helped me so much with that. Some of the more obscure stories in the Old Testament, it's like mind-blowing the things that God has done. So knowing him and knowing his word, you have to know his word in order to use his word to redirect your path. Thank you, Paula. Number two, what's another way that we gain contentment?
I think we have to learn.
Yes. Biggie. Contentment is learn. So if you think about when a baby's born, it's our human nature to be discontent, right? Like, we're born day one, crying, fussy, cold, hungry. It's not easy to learn something new. Takes years of practice, rewiring our brain pathways. I think some of our women have said that it gets easier with age, so that's good. But I hate to break it to you, contentment is not learn when things are going well. It's not. So if you're looking at your trials, if you're looking at what you're going through as a season of growth, I think that helps our mindset. And the sad thing is that not every Christian has learned contentment. And some may never learn it, sadly enough. I don't want to be one of those. But it is possible to learn. I think a lot of Christians go through life struggling and fretting and murmuring, complaining against God and their circumstances. We're not naturally equipped. But it's a sign of strength getting to this point. where we can say it is well, but we're going to have to fight to get there, right? It's going to take some work. Any other ideas on that? Number three, any other ideas from Philippians?
I don't know if this is a little weird, but what I see is from verse 10 in terms of flipping it, where when you're focused on helping others and not, because when you take the focus off of yourself, then, and you're focusing on helping others, you're not like self-pity, all about me, because that's part of discontentment, right? So I'm just flipping it the other way. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a mindset, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is, it's not about our circumstances. Look what Paul says. He's had plenty, and he's been in need. But I love how he says in my version, he's learned the secret. I love that. Like we're tapping into some cool knowledge, you know, some superpower. It's not circumstantial. It's not about all the other things in our life. It really has nothing to do with that, but that's so hard, and that goes into the mindset idea, is that we get so fixated on all the things, the if-onlys, right? Then how would life be different? If I could be happy with this and this and this, and it really has nothing to do with anything around us. It's here in us, in our confidence that God's working. God has placed you where you are right now, in this body, in this city, in your job, in your neighborhood, for a purpose. For a purpose. So trust that where he has you right now is where you're meant to be. But Satan wants our hearts. He's always at work, and he wants us to be distracted by our circumstances. He loves when we play that if-only game. The last point I wanted to make about this passage is that once we learn contentment, it leaves no room for need, as illustrated by Paul. So it's not that Paul had, this is not like Paul's spiritual gift, or that some of you have this gift and others of us don't. Everybody can learn it. We might think, oh, he's a super apostle. We could never be like him, but we can, because he learned contentment. He learned the secret of contentment. He could put his financial and his material needs in God's hands and trust. Can you imagine that freedom? It's a lofty task to be worry-free. So I want you to go back to your checklist and think about what keeps you from placing your needs in God's hand. Look at your checklist and think about one of the things on there. How could you give this to God? How could you give this to God? And what has prevented you? We have to ask ourselves those hard questions. Part of maturing. All right, so we thought about contentment and how to attain it, but let's think about the opposite, which is discontentment. And we're going to look in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 9. And this was written by Paul also to edify Timothy, but also to warn him there were a lot of false prophets at the time who were using the gospel for financial gain. So here Paul is talking about finances, but I don't think that the discussion of contentment here is necessarily limited to money. But in this context, that's what it's discussing, material possessions. So let's read this and think about the consequences of discontentment. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 9. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. So what do we see as consequences of discontentment there in verse 9? Fall into temptation and snares and harmful desires. So that's the fruit of discontentment. Temptation, snares, harmful desires. Sounds like rotten fruit, right? And each of these is going to lead us into destruction. Look what he says about the needs that must be fulfilled. There's two things. What are they? Food and clothing. Food and clothing. Could you be content with just that? What do you think are the most common causes of our discontentment? I think we touched on a lot of them in our listing in the beginning.
Comparing.
Comparison, right? You look at what other people have. Social media helps a lot with that. You look at other people's level of happiness, or their family, or their possessions. And like the Bible word for that would be covetousness, which I don't think usually we throw that word around these days. But coveting, that desire for more. So what are things that we covet?
Time.
Time?
Good marriage.
Mm-hmm. Relationships?
Career.
Career. Mm-hmm.
Perfect children.
Yep.
Just don't exist.
Mm-hmm. What about other people's talents? Do you ever look at what other people are achieving or doing and make, oh, that would, it would be really nice if I could be like that. Finances, appearance. So think about what do you covet? Just take a few seconds to sit with that. Because if we're talking about maturing, if we're talking about growing, we have to ask ourselves those tough questions. What is it that I see other people having that makes me compare myself? That makes me have that I'm not enough attitude? This is just for your own personal growth. Not asking you to share out loud. It's a dangerous attitude for a Christian, right? And really, like I was saying in the beginning, it's a rebellion against God. It's not trusting that you are enough in God. You are his creation. He made you how you were supposed to be, perfect in his eyes. And it can really cripple us against God. And it's an often used tool from Satan. And if you think about in the very beginning of God's word, his original tool, you could argue, that God gave Adam and Eve access to everything. Access, like direct access to God, his creation, except for one tree. And it wasn't good enough, was it? And instead of resting in what they had, humanity's first couple focused on the one thing that they lacked. And Satan knows there's something about lack that is really destructive to our soul. So we're gonna think about this a little bit more. We're gonna do a little group work. So kind of just where you're sitting, some of us are gonna discuss characters from the Bible in regards to contentment, and some of us are gonna talk about discontentment. Just talk in your groups for a few minutes about how these people showed discontentment. So kind of this group here. You can just pick one. There's several people on your list. If you want to just pick one, that's fine.
So contentment.
For contentment.
So we discussed Job.
Okay.
And some of our points were that he remained godly even after all that had happened to him. And he was content with what is received and what is lost. So he...
Both sides of it.
Yeah, both sides. And he understood that it was all God that was working in him. And then after he's told everything that has been taken from him, he falls to the ground in worship. Like, he tears his robe and he humbles himself before God after everything that has happened.
I'm so glad you mentioned that part. Amazing. Yeah, he's like the picture of contentment, right? I mean, he never cried, woe is me. His wife was doing that for him. But he was never feeling sorry for himself that we have account of, or blaming God. I mean, he knew that God was working. He had that trust. Thank you. Who else had contentment? Mm-hmm. What did you all discuss?
Joseph and Ruth.
Okay.
We don't think that Joseph was very content being in the bottom of the pit, but he didn't blame God.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't stay angry with his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
He forgave them, so he showed the love.
I love the verse. I'm terrible at like directly quoting scripture, but you know when he says like you meant it for harm,
mm-hmm.
but God meant it for good.
So he recognized that God was working. And then with Ruth, we were just wondering how old she was. We have no idea. But it appears that she was still in her youth.
Mm-hmm.
She could have gone on to marry somebody else, but she was content to be with her mother-in-law, whether that goes by or go. She showed contentment and faithfulness.
Thank you. Good points. Discontentment. Ashley, you look like you're dying to talk, or anyone else.
Okay, so we picked David, so we were talking about how he's like discontent about, especially when he went after a girl rather than going
mm-hmm.
to war, so he didn't feel content with
Yeah. And we have examples of him being content too, but yeah, that's the specific one I was thinking of as well. Mm-hmm.
One of the ones that we talked about that was the most interesting is Judas, because Judas walked with Jesus. He was part of his ministry. Mm-hmm. He was one of his 12 chosen. So how in the world can he not be content with that? How mm-hmm. can he turn around? And obviously the money meant more to him. And then, you know, sadly, he then went on and committed the ultimate act of discontentment, right? And, mm-hmm. and took his own life and never had the ability to come back from that. But it just is mind-blowing when you think about the fact that he, for 3 years, walked with Jesus.
He was one of his chosen. I mean, think about when you look at other people's status and, you know, when we play that comparison game, you never really know what's going on in someone's life, do you?
Yeah. But I think, too, like, now that that's all coming out of my mouth, I think when people do struggle and are faced with anxiety or depression or things like that, it's really easy for people, and I think the church in general is shifting their mm-hmm. mindset set on it, but for a long time, the mindset was, like, you have God, how can you be depressed? How can right. you be anxious? How can you be upset? And Judas is the ultimate example of that. He walked, like, mm-hmm. we walk with him spiritually, he physically did and still struggled with us.
Yeah. Contentment is, we have to learn this, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to fight to get there. Because those are the tools that Satan uses in our head. Sorry, Danny, go ahead.
I was so eager to ask.
Sorry.
is that it's the everyday struggle, just with other things it's that everyday struggle of contentment. Once you've learned it, it doesn't mean that you're free sailing. It's the everyday mm-hmm. mindset of deciding that you will be content or you're going to be mm-hmm. content.
It's a choice.
It's a choice yeah. of every single day.
Yeah. Which leads us into, okay, I'm like 5 minutes short on time. So we're going to rattle off, this is my list I have for us, to take away, what will a content Christian do? These are the things that we're going to need to do. Okay, number one, when you're focused on yourself, look for ways to serve others. It takes the focus off of you. Number two, be in His Word. You have to get to know God in order to trust that He is working for you. Make a list of all the things that are true about God. Focus on His promises more than your problems. Easier said than done. Again, this is work. Number three, reflect. Think about the ways God has moved mountains for you in the past. Do you remind yourself of the things that He's done for you and that He can do it again? He's the same God day in and day out. How has He been faithful to supply the needs of His people in the past? Find out who God really is. Number four, maintain a healthy prayer life. We all have the mental chatter in our head. God knows all your mental chatter, so why don't you just take it to Him? Have you ever thought about thanking Him for this season that you're in? Because He's growing you. I mean, that's a whole mindset shift, right? But you're going to see life a little differently. Thank you, Lord, for this season I'm in because you are carrying me through it. And I know I will grow from this. Give me the manna I need today to get through today. And in a season where you are desperately praying for it to end, that's not unholy. That's human. But take it to Him. Number five, refrain from grumbling and complaining. Are you more apt to speak out and vent your frustrations with others, or do you take them to God? Do you try to see how God is working in your situation? Try this week. Try to go one day without complaining. I'm going to try to. Ooh, I think it's harder than we might think. Number six, look for the ways God is working. You might have to look really hard sometimes. Number seven, count your blessings. Practice a life of gratitude. Even from a worldly view, there are so many benefits to the practice of gratitude. Lots of psychologists talking about that right now. At the beginning of the year, I bought myself and several people in my family these gratitude journals. And it's super simple. There's a lot of them out there. It literally just has a date and three things. I'm telling you, this has changed so much for me. It sounds too good to be true. But every day when I think about three specific things, not like my normal stuff like food, my kids, you know, my home, I try to think of three specific things from that day, like yesterday. Let's see. I thanked God for the lemons that were growing in my backyard. Because I picked one and I was like, man, this is so cool. It's huge. It's full of juice. We made lemonade. It was a cool moment with my kids. But that's God, the beauty of the lemons on my tree. So I would encourage you, on a sheet of paper, just three things every day. Practice gratitude. And number eight, stay focused on the goal of heaven. At the end of Revelation, it says, one day all will be made new. A friend and I say that to each other a lot. But what a beautiful picture that is. One day all will be made new. Let us learn to be content while we serve God here in this life. Because when we are content, God will be glorified in our lives. We'll have more joy. We'll be a source of inspiration to others. And hopefully others will see Christ because of how they see us. Godliness and contentment leads to great gain. Thank you, everyone, for your participation.
Five more.
Mm-hmm. At 10:20? Yes. Oh, I thought we were over at 10:15. Thank you. I like sped through that for no reason. Any other comments then for the 5 minutes? I'll end us in a word of prayer unless anybody has anything else.
I just wanted to say my mom was really good at being content, and she didn't always have an easy life. And I remember asking her, how did you not fall away when your husband left and your daughter was a mess as a teenager and a young adult? How did you not do that? And she said, where else would I go? Like, God is it. And so that contentment that she learned through all of that, even now, with her brain being eaten away, and she doesn't know who I am half the time, that can be, there are times when she'll say, well, this isn't the best, but I guess I'll make the most of it. And I'm blown away by that. I mean, I know that with Alzheimer's, people can react in different ways. But what I see is when everything else is stripped away, she learned that trait so well that she's still content in the most horrific of situations that she's going through. So I just wanted to share that because it's not just for today, like Danny said. It is a lifelong, she went through lots of struggles, still going through lots of struggles. And she says many times, what else am I going to do? I'll make the best of this.
How beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Something that you have shared and things that we talked about before is when we look at things and we're like, well, I'm not happy with this, I'm not happy with that, but where in the Bible does it say that we are going to be happy? We are promised heaven at the end of our lives when we follow the Lord. We are not promised happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so contentment and happiness are not the same thing. We are not promised that. You know, going through my own things the last several years, plenty of people have plenty of opinions on what I should be doing and what will make me happy. And that's very different than following what God has told us to do. So we are not promised happiness in this life, and it's entirely possible that we go through our entire life without happiness. But happiness and joy are different. And so I think contentment comes through finding joy and not happiness, because we have the promise of heaven, mm-hmm. and that's the only thing we're promised in this life.
Thank you. You're a good example of that. Jen?
I think we have to remember that discontentment helps us, God gives us contentment through the people around us, the relationships that we share. You know, we might be discontent, but God shows us that there is contentment. We just have to look for it.
Mm-hmm. It's not just right there on the surface, right? Yeah, it's a practice. It's a mindset. Anything else? Thank you for your thoughts. We'll go ahead and pray together if you will. God, we thank you so much for this time to be together as women, as your workmanship. We thank you for creating us and for blessing us so richly on this earth. We thank you for being here today, being free to study your word and worship you. Please help us, God, as we are all on different paths of maturing. Help us not to compare ourselves, but to keep on our own path, growing in you. And we want to grow in you, God. We want to be in heaven with you, and we long for that day when all will be made new. But here, in the meanwhile, in this wilderness here on earth, God, help us to learn contentment like Paul. Give us the manna that we need each day to make it through. No matter what comes our way, no matter our circumstances, God, no matter what thorns in the flesh that we will deal with. Our hope is in you. Our joy is in you. Help us to see how you work out things for our good. Not what we assume to be good, but your will, God, not ours. You're always there. And we're so thankful for that. We can't wait to be fully mature one day with you, fully content in heaven with Jesus one day. We thank you for Jesus, for adopting us into your spiritual family. We don't deserve it, God, but we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.